This is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. The question for today on the podcast is, did Jesus claim to be God? So we're going to jump right in. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just speak through me and pull on any heart that's listening. That's yours, God, and to see who you are, Lord, who you make yourself out to be, Lord. Lord, I just love you and just speak your just let your Holy Spirit speak in your name. Amen. So, simple answer. Did Jesus ever claim he was God? Did he ever specifically claim in the Bible and all of it that he was God? No. He did not say, I am God. He did not use that word. He never said, I am God. He never said any of those things. But yet, as a believer, Christians, they say Jesus was God. They say that the scriptures affirm that he's God. And so the question is then, well, why would Christians call Jesus God even when he himself does not openly claim this? Because he does not openly claim himself to be God. Any Christian has to come to that fact that he did not say that directly out of his mouth. Now, it's important to note that him not claiming he's God does not mean that he's not God. It's not like, oh, okay, he didn't claim to be God. Okay, so we're done now. Show's over. He didn't claim to be God. That isn't, you know... I don't have to tell my daughter I'm her father when she's an infant for her to know that or for her to experience that. But what I'm saying to you is I want to be honest with the truth and say, no, Jesus did not say that specifically. So then where does this come from? Why would anyone see this? What's the true story to this? It's crucial to discover, why would Jesus not claim to be God if he was? And what makes believers so sure that he is? And so I'm here to tell you that, as a believer, that yes, Jesus Christ is God. And so if you're going to say that to me, let's just attack it from the back angle of, okay, then if he's God, why would he not claim to be God? Why would he not claim to be God? So let's jump into that first point and answer that question. Why would Jesus not claim to be God if he really is? The first thing is, look, Jesus was private. He was private about his identity from the very beginning. From the very beginning, he asked his followers not to speak about it. Did you know that when his disciples figured out that he was the Son of God, he charged them not to tell anyone? Matthew 16:15-16, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he warned his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, the Christ meaning the Son of the living God, he made reference to himself being the Son of God several times, but he, right in this situation, right in this context, was telling his disciples not to tell anyone. Did you know Jesus continually asked people that he healed to not go back and tell others about him? Matthew 12:15-16, but Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all and warned them not to tell who he was. Even when he taught, he deliberately communicated in stories called parables that people could not understand. It says in Matthew 10:34, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So, and bear in mind that even when God, even when Jesus as God made guest appearances on earth, the angel of the Lord, or we'll just say for all intents and purposes, when God made guest appearances on earth as an angel of the Lord or the mysterious priest of Melchizedek, he did not blow a trumpet about it in the Old Testament. He always was low-key about his identity when he was physically present on the earth. So why would Jesus not want people to know openly his identity? Why would he be so private about it? Why all the secrecy? He could have easily made things simple and said, look, I am God. I am God. Here's my power as God. I'm showing you that I am God. But why didn't he just speak words like that? Why all the other stuff? And I'm going to tell you why. Because God is about relationship. He's about relationship. He desires for you to seek after him. He wants your heart, your attention, your commitment. That's what he wants from us. He wants our interest. In John 6, when the people were pursuing him and running after him, he hid from them. And when he appeared to them later, he explained that they're not seeking him because of who he really was, but because of all the food he miraculously made for them, the feeding of the 5,000. He's not looking to be a superstar. He's looking to be our God and our companion. And this is a theme throughout the entire 66 books of the Bible, that God reveals himself to those who seek him. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened." Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." James 4:8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Deuteronomy 4:29, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search him with all your heart and all your soul." 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually." Psalm 14:2, "The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understands, who seek after God." And finally, Proverbs 8:17, "I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." And there's plenty more. But I just want to make the point to you that God is all about seeking him. That's what it's about. And we live in a world that does not want to seek God. We live in a world that it's all about what you can see, touch, taste, feel, all that. Just use your five senses. That's what we want. We don't want to have to put the energy into seeking God. But let's do that. Let's seek after him. And let's get to my second point of if you start seeking after him, you're going to start to have a whole new perspective that Jesus actually does reveal himself. He does reveal himself to be God. He does speak openly about his identity as being God. He does speak openly about his teachings and his parables. He actually is quite the opposite. You see, it's like glasses, right? Everything looks fuzzy. And then when you put them on, you're like, oh, wow, I see clearly. So from the naked eye, he did not claim to be God. But when you seek him, and when you put on an interest of looking beyond and looking towards something deeper, you will actually start to see who he really is. We don't have time to get into the parables, but he openly gave the meaning of the parable to anyone who asked him. He was extremely open and genuine about being God. And if you seek him, you'll come to see that he did reveal himself. He revealed himself openly. In fact, when he was chained and being questioned by the people who set to kill him, upon being asked in John 19:20 who he was, he answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." Jesus is saying right there to the people who have him captive, "I spoke openly." So Jesus is not a liar. He's not lying. You know, I just finished saying, well, wait, he wasn't open about who he was, but he was open. It's just that people's eyes, they were shut. He wanted people to not see by him just blabbing it out, but for their own experience, for their own personal experience. Like the woman at the well in John 4 who saw him and said, and she just realized, oh my gosh, you are the Messiah. And she said, she ran and said, oh, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. That personal experience is what God is looking for you to have, not for someone else to tell you, not for you to have someone else's experience, not for you to hear, oh, God is who he is from someone else, but for you to personally see and experience him. So let's examine Jesus' words. He says he's spoken openly. Let's listen to them. Let's examine them. Let's see all the things that he has said. And don't have a skeptical mind or you won't see anything. But open your heart to seek him, and you're going to see he's more than a man. When he identified himself, he chose to label himself as a son of man. He was humble because Jesus was fully God 100% and also fully human. So when he identified himself, most of the time, when he wasn't saying a son of God, he would say he was a son of man, which is a common term that any person can use. I can say I'm a son of man. It refers to being the son of Adam. So any one of us can say we're the son of man. We're the son of Adam. But I think he's trying to make it clear that if anyone hears this, they're going to see I'm more than just a son of man. Oh, yes, that's part of who I am, because I am part man, because I came to take on the sins of man. So I am 100% man, but I'm also 100% something else. And you should be able to see I'm more than a prophet, because men are prophets. Angels aren't prophets. Men are prophets. And I'm more than just this man. So let's do this. Let's put our effort Let's put our effort into reading what the scriptures have to say about who he is. And I just want to say again, just in case, you know, there was any confusion, that he is 100% man and he is 100% God. And the scripture explains that in Philippians 2:5. It says, have this attitude in you yourselves, which was also in Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He was in the form of God. He was equal with God. He was in the form of God, but he never wanted to hold on to that. He never wanted to claim that. He never wanted to say, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm man, but I'm also God, so don't talk to me that way. No, he didn't have that kind of spirit. Yes, he was 100% God, but he always put that aside. So, without further ado, what I've been trying to get to with you, we're going to go and evaluate the words that Jesus said, and I want you to listen closely, and you pretend that a man is saying these things. You know, if I said these things, or if you said these things, how they would be received, and what do they sound like to you? Open your heart, I encourage you. John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father God are one. Mark 2, 5, he says, your sins are forgiven. John 8, 58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, who's 2,000 years earlier before him, before Abraham was born, I am. He used the same God, the same name. God replied to Moses when Moses asked God what his name was in the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father in heaven but me. He says in John 14:1, you believe in God? Believe also in me. John 10:17-18b, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. John 17:5 and verse 10. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed. And all things that are mine are yours, God, and yours are mine. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never, ever thirst. John 6:35 and 51, Jesus said to them, this is verse 51 now, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. He says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He says in John 5, whoever believes in me shall not taste death. Luke 10:18, he said to them, I was watching when Satan fell from heaven like lightning. Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And not to mention that he predicted his death. He came back to life after 3 days. When he said that last verse, Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, that's after he had already came back from the dead with the marks in his hands and his feet, showing his disciples. They were meeting in a locked room. He appeared to them in a locked room, went through the lock, appeared to them. So I'd reckon to say to you, this doesn't sound like a mere man, what I've read. And I just read some of it. I just read a piece of it just so I could keep and condense this podcast down. But at the end of the day, what does it mean for you? What are the implications for your life if Jesus truly is who he says that he is? It says that whoever has the Son has life, and whoever doesn't have the Son does not have life. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. That's what it says in 1 John 5. You know, Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. In John 8, he says that. And it's important for you to ask yourself, do you really believe that he is who he says he is? Do you understand that your eternity is at stake? And if you're a believer already, that if you really believe that Jesus Christ is God, and you really believe that he is who he says he is, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, whoever believes in me, out of their heart will spring rivers of living water. He says, I have not only come to give a life, but to give it more abundantly. Are you living that abundant life? Is rivers of springing water coming out of your heart? Jesus is who he says he is, and it has implications. It's not something you could ignore. He says that no one can come to the Father in heaven. No one gets to heaven except through him. He says in John 10, I am the door. All who want to go to heaven must come through me. I am the good shepherd, he says. So you have to ask yourself, am I being shepherded right now by Jesus Christ? Do I have a personal relationship with him that I can see, oh, he's shepherding me, he's growing me? Do I believe in him? Am I born again? He says in John 3, whoever no one, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom, right? You have to be born again. And so are you born again, or are you just a regular person who thinks that Jesus is just a good guy, he was a good prophet? And it's important to think about. It's important to really ask yourself, are these things true? How could he be a man and forgive sins? In Mark 2, I had read, you know, Jesus, there was someone with a paralyzed arm, and he was there, and he went to them in Mark chapter 2. And they watched him, his criticizers watched him, because they wanted to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Their hearts were so hard. They weren't trying to see that he was God. They were skeptical. Instead of being excited that he may potentially heal somebody, they're watching him. Why? So they can see if he's going to heal somebody, so they could accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. And what does he do? He perceives that. Because he is God, it says in the scriptures, he perceived their thoughts and said to them, what's greater for me to say? What's greater for me to say? That your sins are forgiven? Or for this person who's paralyzed from the waist down to take your mat and get up and walk? He says, but to show you that, to show you that the Son of Man, to show you that this man has the power to forgive sins on this planet, get up and walk. And he said that to the paralytic, and the paralytic got up and walked away. He has the power to forgive your sins. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? And if you've called upon the Lord, oh, I've been saved, I've been baptized, okay. Are you forgiven, though? Is there something that you hold on to? And if you are forgiven, if you do believe that God is who he says he is and that Jesus is God, he says, if you don't accept me, you don't accept my Father in heaven. I and the Father are one. I read that to you from John 10. Do you know after he said that, they picked up stones to stone him? He said to them, what good work do you stone me for? And this is John chapter 10. They said, we don't stone you for a good work. We stone you because you make yourself out to be God. They understood. They saw clearly. He revealed who he was. If you've accepted that Jesus Christ is God and you've received that forgiveness, do you forgive? Do you forgive others? Do you delight in him? He says in John 15 that you have to abide in me. Anyone who doesn't abide in me won't bear any fruit, and they'll be thrown away. Do you abide in him? So I just send this out to you, that you would consider your eternal life, you would consider your life here, and that you would give it all to Jesus and believe that he's come down and made it clear that he is the only way, the only access to God, that he is the true food. He says, I am the true bread. He says, I'm the living water. So many claims. I could never say something like that. I could never come on here and say, guys, I just want to tell you that I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. I and the Father, we are one. I could never say, God, glorify me like the way you did before you made the universe. I could never say something like that. Jesus can, though, because he is God. He is God. So I just ask that you would believe in him. Put aside all the other things that try to give you lies. He's not God. He didn't. No. You read for yourself. You heard for yourself. Lord Jesus, I just pray that whoever you're listening would just know the truth, that you do care, that you're here, that you gave up your life, that you were tortured, that you were ridiculed, you were spit on, you were crucified, and you laid down your life. You have the authority to lay down your life, God. And you laid it down and you took it up again, Jesus. So just thank you for that. I pray that anyone here listening would be filled with your Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.